I'm gonna put my anchor at Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Uh-huh. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Preacher, without confidence, my brethren, in his message, the message that he's going to deliver, is an ill-prepared preacher. Is an ill-prepared preacher. By confidence, what I mean is the intrinsic spiritual power granted by the sheer authority of him to whom your words really belong. Are you talking your stuff? Or are you talking about God and what he said? I don't always go to the pulpit, brethren, with confidence in my personality or in my executorial skills or in my vocal inflections. But I'm absolutely confident. I'm absolutely confident that I am going to give people the word of God. Because there's only one message. There's only one message. And if you stay faithful to that message, you're going to give people the word of God. Follow Jesus. There's no chance in getting lost. Follow Jesus. There may be deserts you have to cross. Follow Jesus. He has a great traveling plan. Jesus can't take you to the top. And nobody else gonna help you. I'm confident that if that's my message, I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place. No matter what else failed me, my voice and my skills, no matter what else failed me, that's a good message. That's a good place. Sometimes I found my greatest instances of effectiveness. I left the pulpit not feeling like I stepped on it this morning. You know how they say, I pulled it down. Sometime I left the pulpit feeling like I was in Flunkersville. And only at the door talking to somebody. Or later on that week I found out I was in Hallelujah Square. Attempting to cover up a lack of spiritual power. Pulpiteers resort to gimmicks, new sound systems and mysticism and super illustrations and fanciful sayings and the philosophies of men and all kinds of antics. To cover up a lack of spiritual power, a lack of confidence in whom the words that you are speaking really belong to you. Come on. You ought to be speaking the oracles of God. Every time you stand a preacher is a herald of the king. God, he's a herald of God. The singular responsibility of the preacher is to repeat what the king has said. Here's the disposition of the winning preacher, of the victorious preacher, of successful preacher. Here's the disposition. Let God be true. But every man a liar.
I hear you.
As it is written, that thou mightest be justified, look at this, in thy sayings. That's where your justification is. Your justification is in knowing this Bible and preaching this book. Justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Somebody going to look at what you're saying. They going to ask the question, is it true? Is it true? Well, the only way to be true is to speak the truth from the truth. David awakened out of his drift over in Psalm 116 and 11. And he said, in haste, that all men, all men are liars. See, the single most important phrase in the whole Bible is, thus saith the Lord. That there's no more important phrase than that. Thus saith the Lord. It is the cradle of the faithful preacher. Thus saith the Lord is the unyielding rock on which the confident preacher stands. Thus saith the Lord. See, your purpose in preaching is God said it. Your power in preaching is that God said it. Your peace in preaching is God said it. Let me unpack that a little bit. Your purpose in preaching, amen, is in God said. Then you know there are four types of powerless preachers. There's the entertaining preacher. There's the hugging preacher. There's the angry preacher. And then there's the super educated preacher. You know what the entertaining preacher does? He emotional. He gonna emotionalize the word of God in the folk. Or the ultra kind preacher, I like to always say he nicer than Jesus. You can't be nicer than Jesus. The hugging preacher, I call, because he's gonna hug the word into you. You know, I had one preacher, if I could just deviate here, and a lady come to his office, one of his members come to his office and say, "You don't know what you're talking about." To the pastor. That's what she said. She had that evil spirit of women preaching on her. Amen. Let me say it again. Y'all didn't hear me. She had that evil spirit of women preaching on her. Can I pause right there? I'm going to say what I got to say. But let me stop right there. Your wife may come to you with a great idea. But if she presents it to you, like you got to do what she say do, and she's the one in the head, then that's evil. It's a good idea. It's the right thing to do. But the way she's coming is from the devil. Anytime a woman want to stand in a man's place, I don't care how good she is, how articulate she is. But anyway, this friend of mine, he's pastor, and a woman come into his office and tell him he didn't know what he would do. And so we talked later. He said, "Well, Rev, let me tell you, we prayed, and we gonna sit down and eat, and we gonna work it out." I say, "Sir, I'm not ever praying with the devil, and know it. I'm not gonna never sit down and eat with the devil, and know it. That, anyway, eating is an act of covenant." But anyway, ultra kind. You're gonna just hug the word into people. Then there's the angry preacher. He gonna force and fuss the word of God into people. Then there's the super educated. Amen. He gonna argue and illustrate the word into people. And here's the conclusion of them all. All of this is, at best, is doubt. And at worst, is unbelief in the power of the word of God itself.
Woo! Bring it back. That's all I can say. Bring it back. Bring it back. Amen. Woo! Yeah, he's tough.
He didn't have to be here.
Thank you, Lord.
Let him be here.
Talk, Jeff.
Right, now we're up to our pastor of Ephesus, Pastor F. Williams. All right.
Bring him up. Is he in the house?
I wonder if I can get a motion.
What is it coming?
A motion that we just rub me out and let Solomon continue.
Come back.